Our theme verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It'll be on the screen for us. And in fact, let's read it together. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. God wants to transform you and wants to transform me. So we're looking at 7 key areas in our lives that God wants to touch. Doesn't want just to touch our lives, our spiritual lives here at church or our prayer lives. He wants to touch and transform every area of our life. First week, we looked at spiritual health. Second week, we looked at physical health. And each week, we want to engage in various activities that will help us. So on the screen, again, I've done this a couple weeks now, we have all the things that we're using. So we are using a workbook. And all of you should have a workbook. We actually have a few more workbooks left. It's not too late to get on board. This is only the 3rd week of 7. So if you need your workbook, you can follow along. In fact, today you'll be on page 61. That's where this week's lesson starts, page 61, and then 62 and page 63 are areas where you can take notes of the message this morning. And the messages that I do give on Sunday mornings are available online at icrosspoint.com. Then there are small groups during the week. There's one tonight. If you haven't been in one yet, you want to join one, come tonight at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, right here in our new small group room. And we'll have our meeting there from 6 to 7:30. There's a video, there's discussion, and then we actually have goals that we set. You will get out of this what you put into it. So I encourage you to follow along and join a small group and even make some goals. And then finally, there are daily devotionals in our workbook where you can read a little devotional and a scripture passage every day, and even has places where you can write down. Today is day 15 of the series, if you want to know. So again, we looked at spiritual health, we looked at the prodigal son and what we need to do to get closer to God. We looked at physical health last week when we looked at Psalm 23, and during the message I talked about ways that we can reduce the stress that affect our physical life. This week we're looking at mental health, and just to let you know, we're not going to be talking about the various diseases and illnesses that people can get with mental health. But I do want to say that we here at this church, we understand that there just as you have physical illnesses, there are also mental illnesses, and it's nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of or scared of or to be ostracized for or to be criticized for. We do not do that around here, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later today. But the mental health we're talking about during my message is more of our minds and our thoughts and what we think about every day. And we're going to look at that mental health. So I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you also for all of us who are participating in this series called Transformation. I pray that you would really use the scriptures that we talk about, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate and pierce our souls and spirit to help us to find how we can be transformed more into the image of your Son, Jesus, that you want us to be. Lord, help us today as we talk about our mind and our thoughts. I ask that you would, that your Spirit would work inside us and point out what we need to change. Help us in all of our thoughts, in our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're looking at key area number 3. As I said, our mental health, our minds, and our thoughts. Be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. Another translation says, don't copy the customs and behaviors of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. So God wants to talk to us about the way we think and our thoughts and our mind. We want God to change our circumstances, We want God to change other people, to make it better for us. God cares about those things, but He's also concerned with what is happening inside us, in our mind. So today we're looking at what the Bible says about having a healthy mind. Healthy thoughts. Or another way to look at it would be managing our minds. So today I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8. This will be our text for today. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. It says this. Get out your Bibles, or I think I have it on the screen for us. Here it is. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind that is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Today we're going to look at some principles that will help us from these scriptures to have healthy thoughts and a healthy mind. And we'll look at a couple of principles. The first principle is this. My thoughts control my life. My thoughts control my life. That's what the scripture says. No real change can happen in your life until your thoughts and your mind are on board. Actions begin with thoughts. Our life, our outward life, is shaped by our inner life. So what we do starts with a thought and a desire. That's what we read in Romans chapter 8. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Your heart, your innermost being, out of it flows everything you do. Your mind, how you think, has the ability to shape your life for good or for bad. Maybe during your life, maybe when you were young, or maybe even now, you were battered with negative thoughts like, you're worthless, you're no good, you don't matter, God doesn't like you, God doesn't love you, no one likes you, you're worthless. And now those thoughts and those beliefs, you have accepted them, and they've become true to you, even though they're a lie. And now they control your life. Now they control how you act, how you interact. You may be living and acting on false information, thoughts that you have that are not true. Or maybe you believe false ideas about God and His nature and His character and His love and His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness that cause you to live in a way that is not God-honoring. Or maybe your mind is a battleground with your flesh and your old nature, with temptations to sin or act contrary to the law of God. Those types of thoughts in your mind need to be transformed by changing the way we think. So managing or controlling or renewing our minds is the key to happiness, joy, and peace in life. That's why I like singing that song that we just sang, Like a River Glorious. Because when I think and say and sing those thoughts, those true thoughts from the Word, the peace of God floods my soul and my spirit. We need to be transformed by changing the way we think. An unmanaged mind leads to tension and conflict and chaos, stress, even sin. A managed or healthy mind leads to peace, tranquility, security, and godliness. So how our minds are managed or governed will determine the course of our lives. I read from the scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Here it is. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How we manage or govern our mind will bring either death or life. Paul says, if you govern or manage your mind or your thoughts, with the flesh, which is, in your Bible, it may say old man, or it may say old nature. If you govern your life with those, with the flesh, in your mind, with your flesh, it will yield to nothing but death. Who controls your thoughts? Who controls your thoughts? You do. You control your thoughts. I control my thoughts. Unless you have a mental illness, you control your thoughts. Satan would like to, but he can't. He suggests, he tempts, but we control our thoughts. So that's the premise of what I'm saying this morning. So if you're plagued with unhealthy thoughts, you can break free from patterns of thinking that we've developed. So principle number one, thoughts control my life. Principle number two, I must feed my mind with truth. Just like in our physical bodies, when we eat the right things, we don't overindulge in things that are harmful to us, we have a better physical life. So also with the mind. When we feed our mind with truth, good truth, and not junk food, we will do better, and our thoughts will be under the control of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, people cannot live on food alone, but on every word of God. The Bible is God's truth to mankind. It all starts right here in the Bible. Reading the Bible, meditating on its words, thinking about them, praying, will help renew our minds. Psalm 119, 147 says, I rise up early to call for help and to put my hope in your words. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, I love your word and I think about it all day long. So if possible, we need to start every day, end every day, by reading or meditating on truth from the Bible. Feed your mind with truth. The third principle about having a mind that is healthy is to understand that my mind is actually a battleground. This comes from the Bible. Our mind has enemies, and there are battles happening in our mind. And we have enemies that want to make or take us prisoner and make us prisoner of our thoughts and our values that are lies, thoughts that are destructive. There is a battle for our mind. Temptation to sin starts in the mind. What are the enemies that I'm talking about of our mind? There are three of them. First, I've talked about it already, my old nature, myself, my flesh. Romans 7, 23. I see in my inner being a law or principle at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, waging war in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. So Paul says, in me there is a force or a principle waging war and trying to get me to sin. This principle is called the old nature or the flesh throughout the New Testament. The old nature is not your friend. The old nature is a sinful nature and operates according to the principle of sin and death. All of us have an old nature. All of us have a flesh that wants to rise up against God. You say, I gave my life to God. I'm a Christian now. I don't have sin. I don't have that kind of stuff. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, I see within me a principle at work, and sometimes I want to do the right thing, and it seems like there's something in me that doesn't want to. That's the flesh. That's the old nature. That's the sinful nature. It's there. Holiness and sanctification is understanding those things and having the Holy Spirit cleanse us so that we put down, the Bible says, put off. I think it's in Ephesians and Colossians. It says, put off the old nature. Here it is in Romans 8, verse 5. I read it earlier. Quote, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. This is from the New Living Translation of the same verse. Those who are dominated by the sinful or old nature think about sinful things. Think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So We have an enemy, the flesh. The second enemy is Satan, our enemy, our mortal enemy. He wants to control your mind. He can't force you to do anything because greater is he that is in me than he is in that is in the world. But he can suggest, he can plant negative thoughts. He can use others to plant lies and traps. Not everything that pops into your mind is true. You don't have to believe them. Satan is our foe, but he can be defeated. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, a mere 30 years old, he was into the wilderness. He was fasting night and day, and he was praying, and he was struggling with what was going to happen in his ministry soon after. He was struggling with our mortal enemy, Satan. And Satan came and tempted Jesus and planted thoughts in his head that seemed like maybe they would be all right. Like, oh, you know, jump off this roof and show that you're God. Or turn these stones into bread. How did Jesus defeat Satan? By the word of God. By quoting the word of God. And saying, get out of here, Satan. So that's how you can do it as well. Know the word of God. Speak the word of God. Satan's a liar. I don't have time to go into that, but you understand he's our enemy. The third enemy that wages war in your mind is the world's value system. The Bible calls it the world. This is the third in the trio of unhealthy influences in your mind. The world and its system. Advertising, movies, TV shows, songs, celebrities. Most of them are not encouraging you to live a healthy mental life. Instead, much of the world's system is the opposite and promotes self-love and self-satisfaction, doing what feels good. Gather and possess things for yourself. Look out for yourself. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. We need to understand, we live in the world, we work in the world, we go to school in the world, we go to the store in the world, but we need to understand that there is a world's value system that is not, that is against God, and that will try to plant temptations in your brain and get you to think about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. So if we understand that, then we're able to not accept those thoughts, and we're able to tell the difference between the world's value system and God's value system. So those are our enemies fighting in our flesh. And then, or in our mind. And then finally, the last principle. We must fight the enemies of our mind. You gotta fight the enemies. It is warfare. So I need you to get to understand. It's like a pep talk, you know, or the locker room talk. You know, this is war. They are our enemies. And you need to prepare for battle. We can look at the book of Ephesians and look at the armor of God and all the things that we need to have to fight the battle. It is a battle. But here's what 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This warfare, we take prisoners. I mean, we capture things. And we take captive thoughts to make our thoughts obedient to Christ. We have to grab the mental strongholds of lies and destroy them. The New Living Translation translates it this way. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We need to demolish the strongholds of lies we believe, like God doesn't love me. We need to demolish the strongholds of the false value system of the world, materialism, money, sex, and power. We need to demolish the strongholds of attitudes of unforgiveness and hatred and take them captive, conquer them, Bring them under control. Bring them into submission to Christ. Well, there are ways that we can do that. And there are techniques and there are principles that we can use to help take captive our thoughts and help our thought life. There's a lot of us, I know for me at night, like when I'm trying to go to sleep, sometimes my mind races. Does that ever happen to you? Your mind just races. Thoughts and thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. Sometimes I can't even sleep. It just goes and goes. Then the next morning, the things I thought about don't seem quite as important, but at the time, it's like, no. Well, there are ways to help bring those thoughts under control. Well, I am going to ask someone to come up here and give us a little help talk with these issues of thoughts. And it's Kelsey Johnson. Now, Kelsey is just finishing her master's degree, and she is studying and almost there to be a mental health professional counselor and a clinical counselor for mental health. And she's actually working as an intern in a clinic in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. And I've asked her to come up and speak to us about these things. So I'm getting her microphone ready. And she has I go to Kelsey a lot and just ask her things, and she always has a great answer. Hold on.
I don't know about that.
Then you take all the time you need.
Okay.
And is this
yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
We're good.
So thanks for doing this, Kelsey, and welcome.
Thank you. Take captive every thought. Not recognize or acknowledge, but take captive. As I have thought about this verse throughout the week, I was reminded of my mom. During most of my childhood, she was a nurse for the county sheriff's department, and she had all sorts of inmates, or as she called them, clientele. They, in essence, were all captives. Some were people who had made one dumb decision that landed them in a lot of trouble. The action of being captured was enough to set them straight and keep them in line. These are like the thoughts that quickly pass through and are easy to control. The types of thoughts that we notice once, capture, and almost forget they were ever in the cell of our mind. My mom had her seasonals. These were inmates who would appear on a pretty routine schedule, but usually during a specific time period, like winter. They usually were a little rowdy and tended to change the mood of the jail for the short season they were there. Like the thoughts that occur around monumental memories of our past. Maybe every spring when a beloved friend passed away, or during the holidays. Perhaps even when the weather changes, and for reasons we cannot explain, our thoughts are altered. Mom also had her regulars. These were the ones who just couldn't seem to stay away. These are like our trigger thoughts, or ones that are never too far out of reach. Maybe they are irrational fears of an accident when a spouse is only 15 minutes late but hasn't called. Or perhaps the thoughts that appear as we analyze ourselves in the mirror. Finally, Mom had the lifers. The ones who are constantly there and, to be honest, a little pesky. They are the daily battles we face. The thoughts that no matter how many times we slam the door on, poke their mischievous little selves right back into our daily routine. The one common trend amongst all my mom's clientele were that they were captured. Depending on their crimes, their sentences, and even their cells, differentiated. But they were all captives. They were placed in the care of the deputies who reported the status of their captives to the sheriff. God has made us the deputies of our mind. We are to take captive and remain in charge of every thought. Every thought. Not just the impure or obviously wrong ones, but every thought. It is vital to realize how quickly thoughts can transform. A thought that first appeared to be relatively harmless can quickly morph into one that is destructive. For example, the thought, I need to start working out. Seems harmless and potentially beneficial. It can be if taken captive. If not, it can turn into, my spouse would love me more if I worked out. Or if I don't work out so many times a week for so long, I am a failure. It may seem like an extreme example, but the unfortunate reality is that it isn't really that far-fetched. Sit among a group of people and listen to the thoughts that probably started as minuscule and have become monstrous errant beliefs. Thoughts like, my appearance equals my value. I made a mistake at work today. Therefore, I am a failure at life. I skipped my devotions for Starbucks. God must not love me. Thoughts that we might even chuckle at, but can be the very ones that feed feelings of insecurity and cause beliefs about who we are. Most of the people who sit in my office are struggling deputies. They allow their thoughts to run loose and venture from cell to cell. Thoughts of hopelessness and not being enough. Thoughts of wanting to be thinner or more attractive. Thoughts of bitterness and unharnessed anger. Thoughts that I personally have struggled capturing. Thoughts that I hear most people, even here in the church, muttering. Good mental health is about being a good deputy and taking captive and managing our thoughts. It is not only scriptural, but proven over and over again in research as a fundamental skill in achieving good mental health. It is also important to note that this verse does not say, addicts take captive every thought, or those who are depressed take captive every thought. In fact, this was written to the church. It is written to Christians. At the same time, a good deputy recognizes when they need backup. Part of managing your mind and being in control is recognizing when you are unable to do so. There tends to be stigma around most mental illness and an incredible amount of misunderstanding. I am humbled every time a client walks into my office and allows me into their life. It is not easy to face or admit. While I could argue that it is no different than admitting diabetes, the truth is, it is. It is hard to look another human in the eyes and say, I need help. To those deputies here today who have recognized the need for help in capturing your thoughts through counseling, medication, or other avenues, good for you. Good for you for being willing to take captive the thought that tells you you are not worth a better state of mind. Good for you for not allowing the stigmatic thoughts that can surround mental illness to bully you out of taking control and managing your mind. For those of you who may not meet criteria for a clinical illness, be willing to still call for backup. Oftentimes I sit with people who've had experiences that just left a mark and they need help controlling just a few thoughts. Don't be afraid of a label or stereotypes if you need help. Don't add fuel to the burning thought that you must be crazy to need counseling or medication. It simply is not true. That is a thought that needs taken captive. Being a deputy with or without mental illness is difficult. It requires effort and concentrated hard work. We heard about the importance of physical health last week. And ironically, that plays a large part in maintaining good mental health. Research and scripture have shown the need for sleep and rest. Did you know your brain needs this time to physically rejuvenate and refresh? People who have gone without sleep for only 3 days are eligible for a diagnosis of insanity. In other words, a person with no previous signs or symptoms can become psychotic due to lack of sleep. In 3 days, your mind needs to rest. Proper nutrition and routine exercise assist in the making of a good deputy. Again, research has shown that some people previously diagnosed with some mental illnesses, ADD, ADHD, generalized anxiety disorder, some biological diseases, such as diabetes, even some cases of Crohn's, can manage their symptoms medication-free with a properly balanced diet and a regular exercise routine. Determining what goes into our mind in the first place can also provide us with greater control over our thought life. It is difficult to unplug in mainstream America, but looking to research once again, more than 2 to 3 hours per day of technological interaction is a factor in addiction, eating disorders, social disorders, sleeping patterns, irritability, general mood, depression, and the list goes on and on. It is an easy way to hand the keys of our mind over to something else and allow new captives to enter unaware. Becoming aware of the captives is the first step. With almost every single client, I use some form of mindfulness. It sounds a bit mystical, but what it really does is train people to take time to notice their thoughts and all the other stimuli around them and capture them. It is about becoming aware of what is going on inside in order to take control. Take captive every thought. Followers of Christ, who are stay-at-home parents, or workers, volunteers, addicts, worriers, those with ADD and bipolar, take captive every thought so that you, when you face our sheriff at the pearly gates, you can report about your time as a deputy and your efforts to manage the mind that he has given you with confidence and peace.
Thank you, Kelsey. Wherever you are. Oh, thank you, Kelsey. Much more expertise at that kind of stuff than I have, so awesome. Did you get all that? Really, really good stuff. So we're going to close with that. The Bible encourages us simply to have the mind of Christ. That we are responsible for our thoughts, and we need to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That was Philippians 4, 8, a great scripture to look at and meditate on.